everyone. Welcome to What's Wrong With Wrestling's Hell in a Cell pay-per-view recap. I'm Andrew Bazzano, it's just me. All right. No, Cho's in Dallas for work. Eric, you know, was at his house, and I worked all day Sunday. I actually worked a 16-hour shift. So sorry for the delay on the recap, but I worked all day Sunday, and then I had to take my kid to school in the morning on Monday. So I'm doing it now. But look, we're not going to shy away from Eric and Joe's opinions, actually. We all recorded separate recaps, and we're going to show them to you. And I think it's actually, this is a good pay-per-view to do it, because almost more than ever, this pay-per-view has caused a lot of different opinions for a lot of WWE fans, including me, Joe, and Eric. We all feel a little differently about the pay-per-view, about certain matches and certain outcomes. So we all recorded separate recaps, and we're going to get to Joe and Eric's first, and then we'll do mine. So let's do it. Who's first?
Hey, everybody. It's me, Joe. I'm going to do my recap of Hell in the Cell. We're all in different parts of the world right now. I'm in Dallas for some business tomorrow, so here goes. The show started off with the SmackDown Tag Team Championships being put on the pre-show, as was announced yesterday or the day before. You know, I didn't like that because I thought this was one of the best stories of the entire pay-per-view. And sure enough, a pre-show win, right? The match was okay. It wasn't a bad match, but, you know, just a kind of a hokey championship retain kind of match. No storytelling as far as, you know, Aiden English versus Rusev or Lana. You know, it just kind of is what it was. Then we had the Hell in the Cell. We had Randy Orton versus Jeff Hardy. A couple nice moments, but, I mean, Hardy didn't fall off the cell. And at the end of the day, I feel like a key moment was missed where if Hardy's going to do a fall like that, you would expect an RKO, especially if Randy is going to win the match. So I almost felt like when he was getting up on the ladder, I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, he's going to like just splash him and Randy's going to take him through the table. But it didn't happen. So, you know, I was disappointed, I guess, in the finish. They tried to make it the whole like this really happened sort of thing. And we all know that it was, you know, fake, right? Like he was okay. Then you had the SmackDown Women's Championship, Becky versus Charlotte. I had picked Becky. I figured she has to win, right? She has to win. And again, the way they did it, it wasn't a great ending for me. It wasn't, shouldn't she have cheated or something? Shouldn't she have, like, a legit win over Charlotte as a heel? Just weird storytelling. I wasn't sure. Charlotte goes to shake her hand, and Becky just, I don't know, it was just like, why would Charlotte go to shake her hand after she kicked her ass? Like, oh, we're still just friends? I didn't love that. So again, I thought it was a little hokey. The Raw Tag Team Championship, again, in a match we've seen before, I want to see something new, right? Ziggler and McIntyre versus The Shield, Ambrose and Rollins. I want to see something different happen here, and I really didn't feel like it did. You know, again, I thought they did way more in the final match than they did in this match. And after all that, again, it's kind of like a hokey. I did like the fact that Ziggler was almost passed out when he won. That was kind of my thing. But again, clean win for Ziggler and McIntyre. I don't know. And they retain. So WWE Championship, Styles versus Samoa Joe. This had such a big story buildup. And that story wasn't told in the match at all. Like, I wanted to see more Styles yelling at him about his wife. Why was the wife not in the crowd? You know, why is there not implications after the match? And then they do kind of like a whodunit kind of ending. Kind of like a we're going to have to go to the videotape later ending, which they've done so many times recently. You know, AJ's tapping as he's getting the three count. So he doesn't know he's pinning Samoa Joe. He doesn't know because he's literally holding him down for the pin. Why would he tap out when he hears two getting hit on the mat and he clearly has him pinned down? So didn't like this at all. Again, good match between good performers. Sure, a lot of false finishes. You know, Samoa Joe and AJ Styles are amazing, but I didn't like the finish. Sorry. Let's see. I mean, the mixed tag, what a debacle. I don't know what else to say. I picked Brian and Bella to win, but I don't know why. It was so obvious as soon as the match started that Miz and Maryse were going to win. So again, I thought that was not fun at all. The Raw Women's Championship, this was probably my favorite match of the night, because you actually had Ronda Rousey look human, which is what she should be. She shouldn't be this Brock Lesnar destroying everyone type of wrestler. She is a rookie, right? Like it's you're making the rest of the wrestlers look bad when you have someone that comes in with no pro wrestling experience and just being so dominant. So I like that there was back and forth in this match, and that she was working the ribs, Bliss. And you know, there was a chance Bliss, we knew Rousey was going to retain, but there was a chance Bliss could win. That's what I liked about it the most. Again, the fact that it was back and forth was great. Then we had, I'll go kind of fast here, Reigns versus Strowman. You know, again, the best action was on the outside. They climbed to the top. You had Rollins and Ziggler do kind of like a half fall. Okay. Half fall off the cage, which we've seen a lot now. So it's almost not special. The fact that two of them fell off onto separate tables, look, it's better than nothing, so we'll take it. And then the end, unexpected, so we like unexpected, Brock Lesnar comes out, so it's like, oh, cool, what are they going to do? How are they going to finish the match? They don't. So another pay-per-view where it doesn't finish. So that really annoyed me. But again, it was something that we don't normally see. So I did like the fact that you know, Lesnar came out. We thought Lesnar was gone. We thought he wasn't under contract anymore. Hello.
And good guys can become bad guys.
This is what happens when you're trying to record a recap and you're trying to click on stuff. I just want to make sure I didn't miss anything else. No, it looks like I got to everything. So the grade that I would give it overall is probably a C, like a strong C. I can't think of any reason to make it higher than that. And I don't think, if you're comparing it to some recent pay-per-views, I don't think it was a D or an F. I wouldn't give it that low. I would say it's right around a C. The only reason I give it as high as a C is because Lesnar was a surprise, Rousey looked beatable, and you know, Becky got her title win, which was kind of nice. So I don't know what they're going to do with the Money in the Bank briefcase now. I don't know what they're going to do. You know, coming out with I guess I'll have to rematch. Both titles will have to be a rematch. Samoa Joe and AJ Styles, which already has been announced for the Super Duper Show, whatever the hell they're calling it. And Reigns and Strowman, again, they'll probably get their rematch there too. So a lot of rematches, again, moving forward. They're already telling us there's going to be a rematch for both championships. So I don't want to see it again over and over and over again. So again, I'll give it a C, maybe a C minus. Take care, guys.
Hey everyone, Eric here, and I am here to give you my personal take on the pay-per-view this weekend. Hell in a Cell, you know, looking back, I didn't have a lot of expectations going into the pay-per-view. I thought a lot of it was recycled matches. Nothing really worth, you know, I was in San Antonio. I even opted not to go to the pay-per-view. But it was actually a little bit surprising. There were some pretty decent matches there. And let's kind of dive into them real quick. Pre-show match, I didn't get a chance to see it. New Day won. No surprise there. I didn't think Rusev Day was going to take it. They haven't really been doing much with them, so there wasn't really a point for them to take the titles. So with the opener of the card, you had Hardy versus Orton, which was actually in Hell in a Cell. This was a really good match between the two. Both of them, you know, did a lot of cool moves. Hardy definitely took advantage of the ladders and the tables and, you know, everything he could get his hands on. Kind of made it his own, like, little personal playground. I thought Orton actually looked interested in the match, I guess, if that's the way to put it. Usually he kind of phones it in. But yeah, it was really good. Definitely an interesting spot with him climbing on the top of the, not the top of the cage, but hanging from the ceiling of the cage and kind of putting himself through a table in typical Jeff Hardy fashion. The match just kind of ends there, which is weird, but because Orton pins him, the ref wanted to call it, and Orton's like, no, you got to pin him. You got to count it. I'm going to pin him. It was decent. Only that really, you know, that big spot at the end. There's one where Jeff went through an upside down ladder. That was kind of cool. Looked like it hurt. Next match on the card was Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair. Definite heel Becky here. A lot of good back and forth. This is kind of what we could have expected with Charlotte and Bayley if they had actually decided to go with that feud. I thought both of them did really good in this match. I predicted it, but I really thought I was going to get it wrong. Becky with the win here. So Becky won the women's title, which is great because my whole thing was, well, you've built her up all summer to be, you know, the top face, and now Charlotte comes back and she automatically wins and you make her a heel. So, I mean, I guess that makes her the top heel. But it would have been a waste if she didn't win. So I'm glad she won. Stories are always better with a face chasing the title and a heel holding it. It makes for, I think, a better storyline. Because faces tend to be really boring. And, you know, you want that chase. You want the bad guy doing everything he can to stop the good guy from getting the title, which I think that's what we're going to see here in the next coming months with these two feuding. So after that, Raw tag team titles, Seth and Dean versus McIntyre and Ziggler. Easily match of the night. This match was amazing. These guys pulled out all the stops. We even got a Seth Rollins frog splash. These guys went to war, and it was just such a good match. Match ended with Ziggler and McIntyre retaining. Seth went for a Falcon Arrow on Ziggler, and McIntyre hit him with the Claymore kick. And Ziggler just kind of fell onto Seth, which was really great. And the end of the match after the bell is McIntyre carrying Ziggler and the titles back to the back, which I thought that was such a cool shot at the end. I'm sure that will be our next big wrestling meme there. Definitely a great match. I mean, there's nothing less than you can expect from those four guys. Those are definitely the hardest working guys on the Raw roster, and they definitely lived up to that title. So next match, AJ versus Samoa Joe. This was a pretty decent match. I didn't care for the ending much. Basically, what happened is Joe puts AJ in the Coquina clutch, and AJ kind of rolls over so that he's pinning Joe, and then you have the thing where, like, oh, he tapped, but the ref didn't see it. Like, I think those have kind of played their course. We saw one recently in NXT as well, which, I mean, it's kind of weird for them to use the same kind of ending. But, I mean, I guess you got to continue this feud for a few months. You don't have any real big heels on SmackDown other than The Miz, but, you know, he's locked up in a Daniel Bryan feud for the next 8 months, it seems like. AJ get the pin here. So we'll see this feud continue. There was one spot where Samoa Joe actually set up the Muscle Buster, and I got really excited because I know it's been on the ban list, and they haven't let him do it. But, of course, AJ, you know, slips out of it and turns it into a roll up. But I was really hoping to see it. I thought this would have definitely been the time to do it for sure. Next match was the Yes Couple versus the It Couple. Kind of a snoozer. Luckily, they let Daniel Bryan and The Miz do most of the work in the match. So they kind of beat the hell out of each other. The match finishes with Maryse and Brie in the ring. You know, go figure. And Brie goes to roll up Maryse, but Maryse rolls up Brie. And it was even a bad roll up. There's not much you can expect from those two. They're just not great ring workers. So, you know, match was okay at best, I suppose. Next one on the card, Ronda Rousey versus Alexa Bliss. This is the Ronda match that we actually needed. We needed a match where Ronda actually had to fight for something. There was a lot of back and forth action with this. Alexa, you know, working on the ribs of Ronda. Alexa beats up Ronda most of the match on this one. And basically the ending of it was, you know, Ronda kind of goes Super Saiyan. She hulks up and, she does a move to Alexa and then puts her in the armbar. And so Ronda retains, no surprise there. And then the main event, the only other Hell in a Cell match, which was weird. There's only two on this whole card in a pay-per-view called Hell in a Cell. Reigns versus Strowman. These are the type of matches that Roman Reigns needs to be in where he doesn't have rules to follow, where he can go outside the ring. He can do, you know, big moves on the outside through tables and, you know, hit people with steel steps and that kind of stuff. This match was going pretty good. And then Ziggler and McIntyre came out and they tried to get in the cage. And then Drew and Seth and Dean come out to beat up them. And they beat them up. And basically the match became about these four guys. You almost forgot that Strowman and Reigns were in the ring. I think Reigns had speared Strowman through a table, so they were knocked out. But they were out for a good 5, maybe 10 minutes while, you know, the Seth and Dean and Drew McIntyre and Ziggler fought. And they ended up fighting on top of the cage, which was pretty cool. Ziggler tries to get down and Seth follows him and, you know, the classic, oh, we beat each other up and then we both fall through tables, which they did, went through the Spanish and English table. So that happened. They're all laid out. And then Brock Lesnar's music hits and, he goes and he literally kicks the cage door off of its hinges. And just, he beats the shit out of Roman. He beats the shit out of Strowman. Paul Heyman actually maced Mick Foley, which was really funny. So he's out. The competitors are out. Lesnar's just standing tall. And a random ref comes out to check on everyone. And he calls the match. Even though Strowman and Reigns are starting to get up, this ref decides to call the match, ends in a no contest. So the briefcase, I guess, is gone. It's wasted unless, you know, oh, well, it was a no contest. I should get my briefcase back. If they don't give Braun back the briefcase, the character's done. I mean, he's gotten a few title shots now. He's lost every single one of them. He's becoming Nakamura. He's becoming Asuka. They've wasted the character. You can't even call him a monster anymore. I mean, from what I watched, the pay-per-view was pretty decent until that very ending. I thought the ending just kind of ruined the whole feel of the pay-per-view. I mean, it just stunk it up. And, it significantly lowered my letter grade. This pay-per-view was definitely riding at a B. I'm going to give it a C minus now, just because of that ending. Wasn't happy at all. I'm kind of glad I didn't go, because I would be driving back and I would just be pissed off for 3 hours, fuming about it, you know, driving back to Houston. So, we'll probably talk about more stuff on Tuesday with a regular recap. But until then, catch you later. Enjoy the show.
And now it's my turn to talk. I'll try not to repeat too much of what Joe and Eric said, but here we go. So, Rusev Day and New Day for the SmackDown tag titles on the pre-show. Of course, we all picked New Day to win. English tags himself in, which Rusev didn't like, and then Kofi hits English with Trouble in Paradise for the win. I don't know why you're delaying Rusev Machka-ing English. Like, why not do it here? Maybe they'll do it on SmackDown this week. I don't know why they're delaying the inevitable for so long. If you're going to do it, just do it already. So, moving on to start the actual pay-per-view, we have Randy Orton versus Jeff Hardy inside Hell in a Cell, but this time it's red. I don't know what the thinking was there. Too much of any color does not look good on television, and red really doesn't look good on television when there's too much of it. I mean, it just makes the whole screen look red. It's like a tint of red, so I don't know what they were doing there. Maybe like, oh, when you're filming outside the cell, looks like they're just covered in blood. So, I don't know. It was a little silly. But, yeah, we got tables, ladders, chairs, screwdrivers. Wait, what? Screwdrivers? Holy crap. Randy Orton put a screwdriver through Jeff Hardy's ear hole and then twisted it. And I know Joe and Eric really don't like this. I don't like it, but it's kind of like watching a gory movie where you're like, oh my God, no, but holy crap, that's kind of cool because it's so gross. Like, just the fact that you can't fake that. You can't fake what Orton did to his ear on television. And I don't know about you, but once again, I was like, I know it can't bust open because he's not twisting it enough, but also because, you know, WWE doesn't want his ear to explode. But I almost felt like, oh my God, is it going to just bust open and just there's gonna be blood everywhere? So I was really like worried about that, but it made Randy Orton just look like a sick motherfucker, which is the point. Anyways, the match was fine, but the end really made Jeff look stupid. Really stupid. He's hanging off the top of the cell and he's swinging back and forth like he's a little kid, like wee wee. And then Orton's laying on the table. Jeff falls. Orton moves. And Jeff just falls through a table. I really like Joe's idea of why not catch him for an RKO. I don't think that was outside the realm of possibility. I think Jeff's a great, you know, good enough athlete. And Orton, he hardly even has to catch him. It's just an RKO. He doesn't really have to do much for it. So that would have been freaking awesome. Instead, he just falls through a table and looks like an idiot. He just looked really stupid. Jeff ends up getting stretchered out, and Orton pins him for the win. I mean, here's the thing. Shane McMahon dove off the top of the cell and still continued to fight The Undertaker. So I don't know why Jeff going through a table needs to be stretchered out. You know, Mick Foley didn't even get stretchered out for his Hell in a Cell match. But all right, lame ending. I just thought it made Jeff look really dumb. Next up, we have Charlotte versus Becky for the SmackDown Women's Championship. This whole match felt weird. I know everyone wanted Becky to win, including me, but not like this. Charlotte spears Becky, but then Becky rolls it into a pin, and she becomes the champ that way on kind of a roll-up. Like, kind of a they made it a fluke. Like, it was a fluke victory. I would have preferred Becky cheating to win or something, but I don't know. And then at the end, Charlotte tries to shake Becky's hand, but she denies it. She's like, no, F you. So it was a fluke win. You're not legitimizing Becky, who's your biggest female heel right now. But okay. Next up, we have Dolphin Drew versus Seth and Dean for the Raw Tag titles. This was a good match. I liked the spot where Seth did the suicide dive, but Dolphin Drew caught him And then Ambrose did the suicide dive and took them all out. During the match, Renee said, "Dean Ambrose looks like he wants a piece of this pie." I bet he does, Renee. I bet he does. It's probably why he married you. But no, that was funny. It's going to be interesting to see. Obviously, this is like the first of the first few times that we're going to see Renee say something that we're going to turn it into something sexual because she's talking about her husband's. But yeah, it was pretty funny. Dolph went for his super cool DDT, but Seth turned it into a Falcon Arrow. That was nice. Seth went for the curb stomp. Ziggler went for the curb stomp. That was cool, you know, to see him try to go for Seth's move. But Seth caught him and gave him a buckle bomb. Dolph hit the zigzag, but Rollins kicked out. In the end, Seth held Dolph up for a suplex, but then Drew came in the ring and hit Seth with the Claymore kick, and then Ziggler pinned Seth for the win, which we all had them retaining. So that was a good match. Next up, we have AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe for the WWE Championship. It was a fine match between the two guys. In the end, Joe put AJ in the coquina clutch and falls back to lock it in, but AJ rolls backwards to pin Joe for the victory, just like Kairi Sane did to Shayna Baszler at TakeOver Brooklyn. However, Joe thinks he won the title and claims that AJ tapped out, so he goes berserk. He holds up the title, but then AJ kicks Joe out of the ring. Upon watching a replay, we see that as AJ pinned Joe, he tapped out in between the 2 and the 3 count. So like Joe said, either my brother Joe, did he not know he was pinning Samoa Joe? Okay, let's pretend he knew he was pinning Samoa Joe. He can't wait another half second to tap out. It was 1, 2, 3. I mean, that's half a second. Really? You couldn't take the pain for one, like for half a second to continue the pinfall? It was kind of weird. It was weird. Later in the night, Joe screams at the ref and Paige backstage, and Paige tells Joe he'll get a rematch in 3 weeks at the Super Showdown. Joe demands that it be a no disqualification match, and Paige agrees because she says, "Yeah, you're right. There must be a winner." So the problem with that is, and I'm sure we'll talk about this in the coming weeks, okay, it's going to be no disqualification match because there has to be a winner, like Paige said. The same outcome can happen. The same outcome can happen. You can have Joe pinning, you could have AJ pinning Joe and AJ tapping out in a no disqualification match, and then we have the same outcome. That same thing can happen. Just like when they had Styles and Nakamura, and they made it a last man standing because there must be a winner. Well, they could both be down for the count, just like they were the last pay-per-view. So I don't get that logic there. But it'll be cool to see them do a no disqualification match to brawl and stuff. Next up, we have Daniel and Brie versus Miz and Maryse. I never thought I'd see a bad Daniel Bryan match, but they made it happen. Obviously, it wasn't his fault because his wife's a terrible wrestler. Miz's wife is a worse wrestler than Brie, if you could believe that. Daniel and Brie did the yes kicks together, which was super lame. Maryse broke up a pinfall. I think it was a submission hold that Daniel was doing. I think he had the yes lock on Miz. Maybe it was a pinfall. I don't remember because the match was so bad. But her breakup was so awful. She barely touched Daniel, and then Daniel had to be like, he had to sell it as if he actually got hit. It was bad. In the end, what the hell was the end? Did Maryse DDT Brie for the win? I think that's what happened, right? And that's what I picked. I picked Maryse pinning Brie for the win, so I feel pretty smart about that one, but it was such a bad match. It was such garbage. Next up, we have Ronda Rousey versus Alexa Bliss for the Raw Women's Championship with Natalya, Mickey, and Alicia Fox ringside. Alexa was all in blue, so that was pretty awesome. She looked amazing. And Little Miss Bliss was actually in charge for most of the match, and it didn't look awful. It wasn't great. It wasn't a great match. It was actually slow again with a lot of holds, just a lot of holds by Alexa. And Ronda sold her injured ribs the entire match just from one kick from Alexa on Raw. But eventually Ronda makes Alexa tap out to the armbar, which we all expected would happen. And then finally, we have Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman for the Universal Championship with Mick Foley as the special referee. This match really did not start until the other four guys showed up. Early in the match, though, well, not early, I guess, but Braun chokeslammed Roman and goes for the pin, and Foley tapped the mat three times. And I think he totally screwed that up. Because then he says Roman kicked out, but he went 1, 2, 3, Roman kicks out, and then Braun's like, what the fuck? So it's a conspiracy. But a cool spot was when Roman tried to hit the drive-by, but Braun hit him with the steel steps. Roman then spears Braun through a table, but Strowman kicks out, and then Ziggler and McIntyre run out to get into the cell, but then Seth and Dean show up to even the odds. And then they all climb to the top of the cell and brawl up there. And then, so that was awesome. And Dean brought a kendo stick up there, so that was cool. But then Dolph starts to climb down, and Michael Cole yelled, Dolph can't find a foothold. He can't find a foothold. We're supposed to pretend. I thought we're supposed to pretend like there aren't footholds. And Cole's just pointing out that they put footholds so that they can climb up the cell. Pretty stupid, Cole. Seth then meets Dolph on the side of the cell, and they do the same spot that Seth and Dean did back in 2015, crashing through both tables. That was a nice callback. I really like that spot. Then something that no one expected, which is the point of the old saying, anything can happen in the WWF. Brock Lesnar's music hits, and out comes the Beast. My jaw literally dropped while watching this because I couldn't believe it. Heyman yells at the ref outside the ring, give me the goddamn key to the door. However, Brock gets bored and he just kicks the door down. And they really set that door up to kind of explode when he kicked it. It went flying. So that was nice. And then he actually like set it up to where he climbs into the ring with the cell door. So that was cool. Brock's really good when he wants to be or when they let him, whatever it is, you know. Foley then confronts Heyman, but Paul pepper sprays Foley, so he takes him out. That was Foley's really one spot of the night. Lesnar then hits Braun and Roman with a broken piece of the table. He then gives Braun an F5, and then he gives Roman an F5 on top of Braun, and then Brock leaves. Another ref gets in the ring and sees both men knocked down, and he ends the match, resulting in a draw. The most devastating match in WWE ends in a no contest. But to be fair, how else do you end that match with Brock coming out? I thought about this. I had the night to think about it, and I have an answer for you. Now, I don't think WWE would do this because they kind of wanted Brock to ruin the pay-per-view so that either when Kurt comes back, he's like, you ruined my pay-per-view. Maybe Stephanie will be like, you ruined my pay-per-view. Maybe even Corbin will be pissed, you ruined my pay-per-view. You ruined my main event, so we have to do, you know, gives Brock a lot of heat there, I guess, with management, which kind of makes him a babyface if he's pissing off management. But I think it would have been cool. Brock F5'd Roman onto Braun. Just leave Roman on Braun. He F5s him. Roman lands on Braun, and then the other referee comes in and just pins him for the win, and Brock kind of just laughs like, ha-ha. Yeah, I helped you, you little bitch, because you need my help. So I thought that would have been fine, you know, just to give it an ending. But Lesnar returning really felt like Scott Hall appearing on on Nitro back in the day. Like, he wasn't wearing a Suplex City shirt. He was just all in black. He really looked like he was not supposed to be there. It was like, what is he doing here? He's not supposed to be here. So I really liked Brock coming out. It was a total surprise. I know I might get some heat for saying this, but it kind of made me want him to be the Universal Champion again just because it was such a great spot with him coming out there. But I know Joe, Eric, and I all had kind of different opinions about some of these matches, but I'm going to give it a C grade as well. It would have been a D for me if Brock didn't show up. Like, if it would have just been a Roman win against Braun, you know, that's what we all expected, right? That's kind of boring. But Brock coming out raised it a letter grade for me. And really, Braun and Roman couldn't... I mean, the spear through the table was nice, but again, like Eric said, the match didn't really start until the other four guys came out. So it's a C letter grade for me. And that's my recap. Oh, I'm sorry. We have to get to the scorecards. So there's a reason why I'm doing my recap last. And that's because on our show, the champion always main events. And I'm happy to say the champ is... I'm the champ. I won the damn thing. And it's all because I picked Miz and Maryse, and Joe and Eric picked the Bellas. So the title has come back to me. That's right. I'm your What's Wrong with Wrestling pay-per-view prediction champion. You could probably tell I already won because you saw, you know, Joe and Eric were very sad in their recaps and constantly complaining that what they didn't predict didn't happen. Wah. Sorry, guys. But I'm your champion now. So we'll see who bow downs to me on Tuesday. And we'll see you then. Champ out.
Like Stone Cold Steve Austin, it kinda looks like Kevin Owens. Dean Ambrose is in his daydreams, and Charlotte is in his sex dream. What's wrong with wrestling? What's wrong with wrestling? So much wrong with wrestling, oh no. Obnoxious, crazy, loud, egocentric, no doubt that's Joe. Proclaimed strongest and best looking man in the world. Loves wrestling, but only part time. Strong, big, flair's pretty sublime. Yeah, what's wrong with wrestling? What's wrong with wrestling? So much wrong with wrestling. Oh no. Eric's third most loved, and he can't really hold in his piss. He made hashtag push Eric Gallo, yeah, push him off a cliff. Doesn't think Stacy Keebler is that high, and we almost forgot Josh. He's just a troll.
What's wrong with wrestling?